Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new week of broadcasts on the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us not only today, but every day this week as we continue our tradition of bringing you beautiful Christian music and inspiring preaching and teaching from the Word of God as preached by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Today and all this week, continuing our study of Bible doctrine. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But I want to let you know that 1 week from today is July the 4th, and we will have a special July the 4th message and music for you, so don't miss it. Well, right now, let's hear Are Ye Able, Saith the Master, and then Dr. Green.
Here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Lead us, our Father, as we open thy word today. Direct us as we study, get glory to thy name, O Lord. Sincerely, I pray, get glory to thy name. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. We are studying Bible doctrine. We've studied various doctrines, and we're going to continue. Now we are studying salvation. salvation according to the Word of God, and we are studying grace. Now, grace brings salvation. On the last two broadcasts, I pointed out the first mention of grace in the New Testament, and then I pointed out the first mention of grace in the Old Testament. In the New, we find in Luke 2:40 that the grace of God was upon the child Jesus. God's grace was upon him. Then we find in John 1:14 that he was full of grace and truth. Now, the first mention of the grace of God in the Old Testament is in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, where we read that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Then in Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, and he prepared the ark, saved his house, condemned the world, became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Now, grace is God's unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor to man. And Jesus is God's grace. I mean by that, he was full of grace, full of truth. On the last broadcast, the last verse that I read was Acts chapter 4 and verse 33. Now we read, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And great grace was upon them all. Now, the next verse that we'll read is in Acts, and I'm going to give you several verses. In fact, I'm going to give you the number of times that grace is mentioned in Acts. Now remember, in this book, the Acts, we have the record of the first days of the preaching of the gospel by the apostles in the church era, that is, this day of grace. Now, this is the dispensation of grace, and I'll read that later, and this is the dispensation of the church, or grace. Now, in Acts chapter 11 and verse 23, we find, well, let's see, let's read verse 22 to get the connection. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Now, they that were scattered abroad, they went everywhere preaching the word of God, and souls were saved, and the church in Jerusalem heard about it, and so they sent Barnabas, a missionary. And we read in verse 23, who when he came and had seen the grace of God. Now, what does that statement mean? What does that statement mean? When he had seen the grace of God, did he see grace actually? Is grace something you can see? Now, I said a moment ago, Jesus is the grace of God. He was here upon this earth in a body of flesh, and he was full of grace, full of truth. Jesus was God's grace brought down to man. Now, when Jesus was here, of course, people saw him, literally, they saw him, but can we see grace today? Can we see it? Well, what does it mean when it tells us that Barnabas, when he had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord when he saw the grace of God? Well, what does it mean? Now, beloved, I want your undivided attention, and I hope you don't tire of me making that statement, because it's difficult to listen. Did you know that? It is difficult to pay close attention and listen and concentrate. Listen now what I'm going to say. We get more letters today, and when I say more letters, I don't mean we get dozens. That's not it at all. But there was a time some years ago when I scarcely received a letter like I'm going to mention in just a moment. But we get more letters like this. Mr. Green, I thought you believed in salvation by grace. Now, I'm not sarcastic. Don't think because of the tone of my voice that I'm being sarcastic. I'm not. I want to help you. And if I make you angry, I can't help you. If you become angry, then you'll cut the radio off. And I don't want you to do that. I want to help you. I'm not sarcastic, but the letter will read, Mr. Green, don't you, I thought you were a grace preacher. Don't you believe in salvation by grace? And then I received one I'm almost quoting. And I'm sure the dear person is listening in. And I'm almost quoting. I don't have the letter here, if I didn't read it. But this dear friend said, Mr. Green, I know two men who were at one time Christians, dedicated, separated, spirit-filled, conscientious, on fire, soul winners. And now they're both drunkards and can't quit. They just can't quit drinking. They've tried and they can't quit. Now, do you know what? Let me tell you something. I am no man's judge, and I'm not going to judge these two men because I don't know them. But I do know the Bible says no drunkard shall enter heaven. I know that. Nor drunkards, thieves, and so on. They're in the same class with all murderers, liars, and so on. It says these shall not enter. Now, I am not judging these men. I don't know whether they have been born again or not. And you don't know whether I've been born again or not. You say, Mr. Green, what are you saying? I'm saying that you cannot positively know that anyone is saved except yourself. Now, we believe that our loved ones are saved. We believe that our minister is saved. You believe I am saved because of my ministry, of my preaching and my testimony. And those of you, of course, who know me and you see me and you've been with me, you see the life I live. The rest of you who have never seen me, you believe I am saved because of my ministry and because of my preaching and so forth. But down in your heart, you can't know whether I am born again or not. You believe I am, but to say you know it is to say something that you don't know. Now, here is the thing that makes the difference in what some of you people believe and what I believe. I mean, we both believe the same thing, but here's the thing that makes the difference. You think because a person joined the church, lived a good life, taught a Sunday school class, on the deacon board, or even preached in the pulpit, you think that guarantees that they've been born again, but it doesn't. The Bible speaks of the devil's ministers and false teachers and false prophets. And my friend, the devil's ministers and false prophets in the Old Testament era and in the New worked miracles, wrought miracles. The devil's a powerful person. You must admit that. Now, here is the thing. I believe in salvation by grace through faith. I believe that the grace that saves us keeps us. I believe the grace that saves us and keeps us will stand with us and will make heaven our home when we come to the end of life's journey. I don't believe in salvation by grace plus quitting or doing. Now, doing stewardship determines our reward. There will be people who will enter heaven with no reward. And I've said this so many times, I don't know what that will mean. I can't tell you what it will be like to be in heaven without a reward. I'd rather be in heaven without a reward than to be in hell. Certainly I had. But I pray that I'll not lose my reward. I want a reward. I want some trophies to lay at the feet of Jesus. But to be in heaven without a reward, I don't know what that'll mean. But if a person has been born again and they backslide, they lose their reward if they go on in their backslidden condition. But I'm going to tell you something, beloved. I do not believe a born again, blood-washed child of God will die drunk. If a person has been born again and they do stumble and get drunk, I believe God will give that person an opportunity to repent and make things right before God takes him or her, as the case may be. Now, the grace of God saves us, and the grace of God keeps us, and the grace of God is sufficient. And when you tell me that you cannot quit this, and you cannot quit that. You say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know beyond any shadow of doubt that I'm a born-again child of God. I know I'm washed in the blood, and I cannot quit this, and I cannot quit that. You are limiting God's grace. Did you know that? You're limiting God. Now listen to this. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Now that includes drinking, gambling, cussing, stealing, name it. You name it. Now I'm giving you the word of God, not what Oliver Green believes. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. That is, the devil does not have anything new to tempt you with that he has not already used to tempt other men. Now, it may be in a different form, but basically it's the same temptation. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer, and that means allow or permit, you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now that's 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now that's Bible. And when you tell me that you cannot quit cursing, now I'm talking about a Christian. You say, I'm born again, and I slip and cuss. I curse, and I cuss, and I can't quit. Now wait. You're limiting God's grace. Now you, if you're born again, God's grace is within you and God's spirit is within you. Divine nature is within you. And to tell me that you cannot lay aside some habit is to tell me that God's grace is not sufficient. But God's grace is sufficient. Now, when Barnabas saw the grace of God, having seen the grace of God, he saw the fruits of God's grace. Now, he saw the change in these people. You are not saved by giving up anything. You can give up everything if it were possible. If it were possible, you could give up everything that is sinful and wrong, but that wouldn't save you. You are saved by the positive, not negative, the receiving of divine nature through faith. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ saves you. But when the grace of God comes into your heart, then God's grace produces fruit. Now, not a great abundance necessarily, but fruit. You will change not from without, but from within. And the habits that you had as a wicked sinner or just an ordinary sinner, those habits will fall off. Maybe not instantaneously, all of them, but as the Holy Spirit reveals to you that something is wrong and is not for a Christian, then the grace of God will give you the strength. Well, first of all, the desire. And then the strength and the ability to lay down or to give up, whatever you want to call it, whatever it is. So Barnabas saw the grace of God. He was glad. He saw what had happened to these dear people in Antioch. And we read in verse 26, the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Now, I do not fully agree with what some dear teachers say and what I said in my early ministry. I wouldn't be surprised if some of you people who listened to me 30 years ago, I don't know whether you remember or not, but I made the statement, I know I made the statement at times, that Christian is a nickname, C-H-R-I-S-T, Christ, I-A-N. Christian is Christ softened with I-A-N. But I don't believe that anymore. Now, that doesn't have anything to do with your salvation or mine, and that doesn't have anything to do with doctrine. But I'm saying this. I don't. Now, it could be part of the reason. It could be part of the reason, and I suppose it is. But I don't believe that Christian is a nickname. I believe that my name is Oliver Green because my daddy, my daddy's surname was Green, and his daddy's surname was Green. And I am Mr. Green because my family before me were the Green family. Now, I'm a Christian because Christ is in me. I belong to Christ. Now, it is true that these people lived like Christ. I don't mean that they were perfect as he was, but I mean they practiced habits as he did, and they did the things that Jesus did, and I'm sure that that had something or contributed to these people calling the disciples Christians. But I don't believe Christian is a nickname. I believe we are called Christians because we belong to the family of Christ. I'm Mr. Green because I belong to the Green family. And you are Mr. Brown or Mr. Smith because you belong to the Smith or the Brown family. Now, I am a Christian, and if you are a believer, Christ in you, Colossians 1:27, Christ is in you, and therefore you are Christ's child. You are a son of God through Christ, and you are a Christian. Now then, let me give this right quickly because my time is gone. I read yesterday in Titus 2:11 and following, the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared. The grace of God that brings salvation. So grace brings salvation, but that's not all. The next verse, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So you see, the grace of God not only saves us, the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness, and that's anything that is not godly. God's grace teaches us to abstain from ungodliness, to abstain from worldly lust. God's grace teaches us to live godly, righteously in this present world. God's grace teaches us to look for Jesus. And if you're looking for Jesus today, you won't get drunk. No, sir, if you're looking for Jesus. So let's face it. Barnabas saw the grace of God. He saw what the grace of God had done for these people. Father, my Father, in Jesus' name, help believers to dedicate all to Thee. Save the soul that's nearest hell. Save poor, lost church members. In Jesus' name, amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again, and before we close today, I want to remind you that we are now in the second week of our Gift Offer V. Gift Offer V contains a CD collection of messages by Dr. Green and two different books, and it's all available to you in return for your donation to the Gospel Hour in the amount of $30 or more. Now, I ask you to pray about it and send some extra if you can. If you can send $40, $50, or even more, I know the Lord will bless you for your giving, and you will be a part of helping us reach more and more lost souls throughout the day, every single day of the week. But if you can send a donation of at least $30 and ask for Gift Offer V, first, I'm going to send you a book that was put together by my mother many years ago. People always wrote in with questions to my dad and mom at the Gospel Hour, and she realized that many of the questions were asked over and over. So she put this book together, Bible Questions Asked Most. Now, this is volume one. There is another volume, and we will tell you how you can get that in your order. Now, there are 226 questions answered, 206 pages long. This is a softback book. It has a subject index as well as a scripture index. Some of the questions are, I have had some unusual dreams. Do you think God reveals things to us in such a manner? Another question, can faith remove literal mountains as taught in Matthew 17, verse 20? And what did Jesus mean when he said, many are called, but few are chosen? Just some of the questions in this book. I know you will enjoy looking through it and reading the questions and answers. Then we have a collection of messages by my father, Dr. Green, the verse-by-verse study of the book of James. Now, there are 26 messages in this series that he originally preached on the radio, and they are on 9 CDs, housed in a very nice binder for you. Finally, a book originally written by my dad many, many years ago, and then added to by my mother from his readings. It's named James, Servant of God, 171 pages long, and it's a very nice companion to the audio messages. So to get the audio messages plus both books, just ask for Offer V and send your gift of at least $30. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.